from the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. It is Wednesday. Hey, Caleb.
What's up?
Is that right? It's Wednesday?
Avery, is it Wednesday?
It should be.
Okay.
But I'm
it
not sure.
It is Wednesday. I'm very confused.
We know it should be Wednesday. That's what we know.
I don't know what year it is. It is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, and it's an honor to have you with us on April 8th. In the year of our Lord, 2020, we're making it through the quarantine and the stay-at-home house arrest, just like everybody else around the country. And we're going to get into some very important breaking news. There are some growing concerns around the country that the CDC and some state health departments are intentionally inflating the death numbers associated with the coronavirus. And we're just not talking out the wazoo here. We actually have audio we're going to be playing from yesterday's White House coronavirus briefing. Also, some breaking news coming out of Minnesota, and we're going to get to that in just a few moments. Meanwhile, the breaking political news. Bernie Sanders is out of the race, suspending his campaign. And President Trump is weighing in, as only President Trump could do. He says, wow, Bernie is unwilling to give up his delegates and wants more of them. What's that all about? That is a terrific question from the president. And again, I do not believe that Joe Biden is going to be the guy. Joe Biden, sad to say, probably does not even realize he's running for the White House right now. But I am wondering, when you look at what's happening in the world with quite frankly, de facto socialists running places like California and imposing, quite frankly, police state tactics on law-abiding citizens, there's something very wrong with this country. And that's why I'm excited to bring onto the program a lady running for Congress out of Georgia, the 14th Congressional District. Her name is Marjorie Greene. She is a business person, and she is campaigning against socialism, and she literally blew up socialism in her campaign ad. Marjorie, what a treat to have you with us today.
Hi, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on. And you are right. I blew up socialism, and that's because I believe we're in a fight for our lives. The Democrats are nothing but socialists. Their policies would wreck our economy, kill our jobs, and turn America into some type of Venezuela-style hellhole. And I've lived the American dream, and I am not going to let it happen. My kids are too important to me. And I care so much about their future. So I'm jumping in here, running for Congress and leading the pack. So this is a good thing.
I think this is terrific. And we have a lot of listeners up in your congressional district. Save America, stop socialism. That's your campaign theme.
Yes. Save America, stop socialism. Green2020.com. Green has an A on the end. Green2020.com. They can learn more about me. But like I said, I'm a successful business owner. I've managed a commercial construction company that my father built all by himself. And for the past two decades, managed multi-million-dollar jobs all over the Southeast and up the Eastern Seaboard. I'm an unapologetic Christian woman, wife of almost 25 years, mom of three amazing kids, and that's the best part of my life. And like I said, I love our country. I love our freedoms. I carry a gun every single day because I feel like it's one of my greatest rights. And I just believe that America is worth fighting for. And that's where we are right now. We need to look at this as a fight because the Democrats have revealed their hand. We've seen it over and over. They are the party that is no longer an American party. They are an anti-American party. They want socialism with their Medicare for All, their insane Green New Deal, all in the name of climate justice at $93 trillion. They want open borders. They want to take our hard-earned tax dollars, pay for illegals' health care, college, hand over American jobs to illegals, take care of them and protect them in sanctuary cities. And then the most hideous part, the most evil thing happening in our country, is Democrats want abortion on demand, and they want every American taxpayer to have to pay for it. And that's one of the biggest things I am very much opposed to, is abortion. So I will be working as hard as possible to not only defund abortion mills like Planned Parenthood, but also end this act of evil that happens every single day in America.
We're posting the video of your campaign ad on our live show blog, ToddStearns.com, ladies and gentlemen. You know where to find it. You drive a Humvee out into a field and you shoot an AR-15. I love you, Marjorie. I don't even know anything else about you, but this is an epic. And, you know, you're right. A lot of these campaign ads, they fake the explosions. This was the real deal. What was in the cans?
Tannerite. And what you saw in this ad.
No, really? It really was?
Yeah, it was Tannerite.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Listen, what you see in this ad is you are seeing me being me. I mean, there was no acting. That's our family Humvee that we love. AR-15 is one of my favorite guns to shoot because as a woman, you can easily control it. And it's easy to hold. It doesn't have a big kick. So it's a great gun to shoot. And we've played around and had fun. We're a shooting family. My son competes in shooting sports, and it's just something we enjoy. And some people in my family hunt as well. So it was a lot of fun. We took paint cans and filled it with Tannerite. And one of the great people that work on my campaign, Justin, he's a veteran. He helped do all this stuff too. And he built the sign, and we painted socialism on there and just wrote up a script, which is exactly how I feel and my family feels, and I think most Americans feel this way. We just are fed up, sick and tired with Democrats trying to shove their socialist, ridiculous, anti-American policies down our throats.
And one of the challenges you guys have in Georgia, Marjorie, is the RINO issue, the Republicans in name only. And, you know, you've got Senator Kelly Loeffler, who is under tremendous fire right now for these stock decisions that were made, very questionable. And a lot of people are just, you know, I think especially a lot of Trump conservatives are saying, you know what, we want people that are going to campaign and deliver on the campaign promises, not become RINOs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. You said it right. Georgia is filled with RINOs. Unfortunately, I'm running against a few of them in my primary myself. But RINOs are the problem. And we saw that in the first 2 years under President Trump with our Republican-controlled Congress. And they went ahead and they did not do anything about Obamacare. They didn't get rid of it. They funded sanctuary cities. They funded Planned Parenthood for $500 million and spent $1.3 trillion. That was Republicans, where we saw a lot of, like you said, Republicans in name only. And that's something I am strongly against. And I think it's time to put true, regular American people, successful business people, people that are passionate and care about our country, into Congress to fight for us. I got to tell you, running for Congress is not something I ever thought I would do. And it's not even something I truly enjoy, but I can't unsee this future ahead for our kids and our grandkids if we just sit back and keep doing nothing. And it's complacency that has led us to where we are now.
Well, Marjorie, when you look at what's happening across the country right now, it's mind blowing to see how so many of our fellow citizens are just willing to give away, to relinquish their civil liberties for the sake of being safe. It's just mind blowing.
I agree with you. It's terrifying, actually. It is terrifying. But you said something. I mean, I think we're going to find out a lot of information. You mentioned before we started that the CDC, there's starting to be questionable, are the numbers correct? And I tell you what, there's going to be hell to pay if we come to find out that our entire economy, American strong, amazing business economy, was shut down because the numbers were falsified. And that's going to be terrible. And then another thing I think that every single American needs to get on their toes about is we got to fight back. We need to bring our jobs back to our country, our American jobs. China stole them. It's time for us to steal them back because this is where our jobs belong. We need to stop them from spying on us. We've had enough of that. And stop them from stealing our amazing American, you know, inventions. And this is what makes America so, so great. We're the greatest country in the world. Every single country on this planet is envious of us. They want what we have. And this is why we have to fight. We have to fight like I did in that, in my ad, literally blow up socialism, blow up gun control, blow up open borders in the Green New Deal, stop all of it. And we need to do that with passion and with our full energy and heart and intent, because we're one nation under God and we have to protect that. And this is something to fight for. We can't sit around and just let it go away.
All right, Marjorie Greene, you're making your case, and this is exciting. You have been introduced to the nation, and best of luck to you. Keep us posted. You've got our my producer's contact information, and we'd love to see you up on Capitol Hill next year.
Thank you, Todd, and please, everybody, please go to green2020.com, GREENE2020.com. A small donation helps me out a ton, and I'm endorsed by Congressman Jim Jordan and the House Freedom Caucus and many others, Gun Owners of America. So I'm working hard, and I just really am thankful for everyone's support.
That's
Thank
a
you
green,
so much, Todd.
That's a green deal I could work with right there. So that's
great.
Marjorie, God bless you. All right, Marjorie
okay,
Green, ladies and gentlemen. Marjorie Green. Wow. That's it's quite an explosion. You got to watch the video. It's a little jaw dropping, and it's pretty awesome, to be perfectly honest with you. Marjorie Greene running for Congress there in Georgia's 14th congressional district. All right, look, we're going to take a break here. Are you beginning to question what they're telling us about the coronavirus? We're going to be playing some audio when we come back from a medical doctor in Minnesota who was given orders to do something. And again, you'll just have to, you got to hang on past the commercial break here. But I'm just curious if you're believing what they're telling us. 844-747-8868. It's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Marjorie Greene, and I approve this ad. America's the greatest country in the world. We need conservatives in Washington that will keep it that way. I'm running to stop gun control. Open borders. The Green New Deal. And socialism.
Bernie just beat himself.
Democrats fight for their socialist agenda every single day. I'll fight even harder to stop them. I'm Marjorie Greene, Republican for Congress. Save America, stop socialism.
Hey, she's like your next door neighbor, I think, Caleb and Avery.
Yeah, she's in Georgia. We're not in the same congressional district, but I have to look at a map to see where the 14th district is. But yeah, it can't be too far.
That was really fantastic.
Yeah, it was Tannerite.
Oh my gosh, I love.
You know
that
who
man.
Else? You know who else loves Tannerite? Joe Exotic.
That's right. That's Joe Exotic. Yes, Tiger King.
He was a big Tannerite fan.
Oh man,
Avery, have you started watching yet?
No, unfortunately, I've not.
Gotta get with it, man.
That's your homework assignment.
Can I tell my professors, like in an email? Can I get that in writing, saying that my job is telling me that I have to watch Tiger King instead of doing homework?
Absolutely, it's All your right. thesis.
We'll write you a slip.
Yes, this will be your doctoral thesis. Do you need an excuse, a note?
I need enlightenment, I feel like, is...
Joe Exotic will give it to you.
Wow. Yeah, we could definitely do that. But you're right. She, you know, those were literal explosions. There was nothing fake about that.
Oh, yeah, that was Tannerite going off, no question.
All right, look, ToddStearns.com, the live show blog, we have that video, and you got to go check it out. It's actually probably one of the best political ads I've seen in a long time. So, look, we've got some time here. I want to play some audio. This is a long audio clip, but it's really important for you to hear. We've been very concerned that the numbers of people dying from coronavirus may be inflated. And I want you to hear what a doctor in Minnesota has to say. This is Dr. Scott Jensen. He is also a state senator from Minnesota. Listen to what he had to say. Oh, we don't have Dr. Birx. I'm sorry. You know what? We're going to get back. Hold on. Hold that thought. Do we have Dr. Birx? All right, let's play Dr. Birx from yesterday. Then we're going to play this other audio.
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus called you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that.
Okay.
As a COVID-19 death.
Let me stop here for just a moment and explain what's going on. I sort of botched the audio, but you need to understand, and we've been talking about this on the radio program for quite some time. As a matter of fact, we were warning folks, pay very close attention to how they categorize people who die. Now, before I go any further, I have to qualify this by saying we believe this is a very real virus. We believe that people are, in fact, dying from this virus. There is great suffering, and we take nothing away from that. But at the same time, we do believe in facts, and we believe in the truth, and we believe the facts and the truth matter. And I was very concerned that what was going to happen is exactly what is happening. So if you are in a car accident and you die, they will say the cause of death is coronavirus. You get shot with a gun, coronavirus. You have a nosebleed or maybe you broke a leg, coronavirus is to blame. Do you see? This is exactly what they were explaining to us last night. So if you have an underlying condition, that underlying condition is not the cause of your death, coronavirus is. And it gets worse than that. And this audio, and we'll play this after the bottom of the hour news. But this audio from Minnesota, a state senator who is a doctor, says they are being told by the health department to categorize deaths as coronavirus, even if it's not coronavirus. We're going to take your calls on this. We're going to play this audio coming up, 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Diminishing or marginalizing or minimizing anything to do with the virus at all. And I think we've been very deliberate. And the reason why, I know some of you folks are like, geez, Lou, what is it with Starnes always having to say this? And the reason why, there are some pretty horrible people over at CNN and the New York Times and NBC News, and they have targeted this radio show, and they are accusing me, your friendly neighborhood host, of being a coronavirus denier. And of course, it is a flat out lie, but I feel obligated to at least convey to you that I understand the seriousness of the situation. But the question is, exactly how serious is this? And I thought Marjorie Greene in the last segment had a very important statement. She says somebody's going to have hell to pay if this turns out to be something that it is not, because it's being portrayed as one thing right now. And there is great concern and growing concern around the country that maybe, just maybe, they are overinflating the numbers. Now, I want to play some audio for you. This is from an interview from Minnesota. This is a state senator, Dr. Scott Jensen. He's also a medical doctor. He was doing an interview with Chris Berg from West Dakota Fox. That's the Fox TV station there in the Dakotas. But the doctor is from Minnesota. Here's what he had to say.
You just said, I think, is critically important. Can you repeat what you just said, please?
Well, last Friday, I received a 7-page document that sort of told me that if I had an 86-year-old patient that had pneumonia but was never tested for COVID-19, but sometime after she came down with pneumonia, we learned that she had been exposed to her son who had no symptoms but later on was identified with COVID-19, that it would be appropriate to diagnose on the death certificate COVID-19. Now, we've not done that. If someone has the pneumonia and it's in the middle of a flu epidemic, and I don't have a test on influenza, I don't diagnose influenza on the death certificate. I will say this elderly patient,
sir,
died of pneumonia.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I my heart is sinking right now as you're telling me this. You're a doctor. Why in the world would they be sending you out information to fill out death certificates, whether the person's been diagnosed with COVID-19 or not, but then to say in the death certificate this person's death was caused by COVID-19? That does not sound right to me.
I went to the person in our office who does most of the death certificates over the last, 10, 20 years, and I said, does this sound right? I had her look at the documents that I printed off, and she said, well, we've always been told that you always put down just facts. You don't put down any probabilities. You don't put any presumptions down. It's just what you know. And so this is concerning, and it actually gets to your point, Chris. When we start talking about the data that goes into the modeling, we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we being forthright? Are we sharing with the public? Minnesota, North Dakota, we don't need to be having it sugar-coated. We want to know what's going into your modeling.
So with that being said, why would they want to skew the number of deaths due to COVID-19?
Well, fear is a great way to control people, and I worry about that. I worry that sometimes we're so darn interested in just jazzing up the fear factor.
Fear is a great way of controlling people. That, to me, is the most important comment that doctor shared with us. Yes, we sort of figured that they were fixing the numbers. They were messing around with the numbers. I mean, good Lord, the CDC says on their own website that if you've got somebody coming in and they die of pneumonia, but they may have the coronavirus, you say they died of coronavirus. That's on the CDC's official website. And then you had Dr. Birx saying as much yesterday in the press conference. Can we play that audio?
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus called you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem. Some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it. And the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
Now, a few days ago, and we shared this information with you, a few days ago, and we're going to bring it up again because there's just so much information and so many numbers. But a few days ago, New York City released its daily coronavirus death numbers. And of course, these numbers have changed. But on April 1st, when these numbers were shared, the number of people who died from actual coronavirus, they had no underlying condition, they died of the virus, that number was at 14. 14, ladies and gentlemen, 14. Britt Hume, formerly a former colleague over at Fox News, said, shared this information and was crucified in the mainstream media. And all Brett said was, hey, look, this is a very informative thread. It explains why New York's COVID-19 fatality numbers are inflated, because they do not distinguish between those who die with the disease and those who die from it. And that is a very important distinction, and one that they are not making in the mainstream media, because they are in the middle of producing the most historic apocalyptic reality show of all time. And so the mainstream media, they don't want to look at, first of all, they don't want to look at any data that would conflict with their narrative. And number two, they don't want to share any stories about some of the good news and some of the good things that are happening out there in the country right now, including the fact that over 98% of the people who contract this virus recover from it. And that's a big number. But they're not sharing that information. They're not sharing the news that 98% of Americans who come down with this are going to recover and have recovered. They're not sharing with you the news that, by and large, you just can't walk out there and contract this and just keel over. That's probably not going to happen. They're not sharing that. And why is that? Because of what the doctor said. Fear has a way of controlling people. You can control people if they are terrified and scared. And I'm telling you, based on my Facebook feeds, based on the things that I am seeing in our emails that we're getting from many conservative people around the country, some of you folks are terrified. Just downright terrified. But you cannot buy into the narrative. You just can't do that. So my question to you, are you surprised by this? And why do you think it is they're inflating the numbers? Why do you believe that they are telling us that people are dying of the coronavirus when in fact they are not? And I'm telling you, I think there is going to be hell to pay, as Marjorie Greene said just a little while ago on this radio program, the lady running for Congress in Georgia. I do believe there is going to be hell to pay if, when it's all said and done, we come to find out that we have shut down the nation's economy. We have sent tens of millions of people onto the unemployment lines. We have destroyed small businesses across the country. For what? 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All you folks listening to us up in Chicago, your mayor, Lori Lightfoot, is her name. She is also openly gay. She makes that her thing, and whatever. Mayor Lightfoot has issued an executive order. All illegal immigrants and refugees in Chicago will be receiving coronavirus relief money. So if your hard-earned tax dollars are going to be turned over to illegal aliens in Chicago, the mayor is also under fire from liberals. Because, under this executive order, you're not allowed to, the stay at home orders, you're not allowed to go and get a haircut or get your nails done or anything, whatever. If you're a mani or a pedi, we don't judge here. And so anyway, the mayor got caught going to a beauty parlor to get her hair done or did or whatever. And the mayor says that she has to because she's got to look good because she is the face of Chicago. So there you go. You know, a man whose hair is never out of place, by the way, is Jensen Franklin from Free Chapel, who's on the Newsmaker line. How do you like that intro, Jensen?
That's a classic. I've never been introduced that way. But thank you. I'll take that.
No, it was, you know, I was doing a hit the other day. Every Monday I do TV hits with CBN, you know, Christian Broadcasting Network. And I felt obligated to tell them my sideburns are looking like something out of like the 19th century, that there's really nothing I can do about it.
It is a big deal. I mean, we can't get our hair cut. This is a crisis.
It is a crisis. So anyway, look, we've got a lot to talk about. You know, you've been really at the forefront of speaking truth to the nation and really reassuring the nation. I know the president recommended a couple of weeks back that folks watch your service there. How are you guys doing at Free Chapel, and how are y'all doing church these days?
Well, we're doing good. You know, it's definitely different. I walked in the sanctuary last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, and, you know, I walked through. I was going to take a live service and shoot it out to our congregation online. And I don't know, Todd, it moved me. I got emotional. I've been pastoring that church 30 years, and to look out at 3,000 empty seats and, you know, the smiling faces, the ushers, the people that, you know, of course, the building is not the church. The people are the church. And I don't mind telling you, I got a little emotional. I had a tear in my eye because I miss my people. I miss gathering together. That text in the Bible that says, I was glad when they said unto us, I feel sad when they said unto us, we cannot come to the house of the Lord. Now, for some people, it's no big deal, you know, but to those of us who do gather and treasure that, boy, there's a yearning and a hunger to get back together like never before.
You know, the president warned people a couple of weeks back that it's going to get pretty bad, and that, you know, he was concerned about people who might get depressed and, you know, suicides, you know, people being isolated. What are you hearing as a pastor?
Well, when they called us from the White House the other Sunday, when the president tweeted that he was going to join our service, That was the reason I asked the person that from the White House, why did he want to join the service? And they said he felt like, and I knew this, but I think it was neat to hear. He felt like the nation needed hope, is what they said. He feels like the nation needs the message of faith and not fear in such a, you know, tremendous moment. And so, you know, that's what we've been preaching. I do think it's amazing, Todd, that this virus is peaking during the week of Easter, that if ever there was the world was being confronted with fear and death, and at the same time the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the whole world is hearing this message this week when it seems like it's at a peak. And I just, you know, Passover, season that we're in is one of death and resurrection. We're gonna bounce back. We're gonna see. I love that scripture in Job, the 28th chapter, that says he sets an end to darkness, and this is going to be over after a while. And people just need to encourage themselves in the Lord, dig in deep, read the Bible. The Bible will read you, and, you know, call somebody else, focus on others, and encourage them, and focus on the Lord.
After 9/11, there was a rush to the church house. I remember that the churches were just filled in the days after 9/11. Do you anticipate the same thing happening once we're able to get back to whatever we're going to call normal down the road?
It's a great question. I really think that probably it's going to be a gradual amping back up. I'm just going to be honest. I think. People with infants, toddlers, they're going to be cautious. Elderly people are going to be cautious, and rightfully so. So we really don't know. I may be facing a half-empty sanctuary, or we may have to go into social distancing even in our buildings, and we're gearing up for multiple services, you know, at every campus, because we just don't know what to expect when we get the okay to gather again. So it's going to be different for a while. I think eventually, absolutely, we'll get back to large gatherings. But, you know, until then, I think people are going to be a little more cautious. And our online numbers have been off the charts, incredible. And so the truth is, and the good news is, you know, the gospel keeps going out, actually greater than it ever has. Every pastor that I'm talking to that has online ministry is saying their numbers are just like five times more than what they would normally see. And you know, so, you know, it's good news, bad news.
Jensen, real quick, we told a story earlier in the show about Louisville, Kentucky, where the mayor told churches they will not be allowed to do any kind of drive-in church services on Easter Sunday. They're just not going to allow that to happen. Do you have concerns that maybe we're starting to see a little overreach here by the government in some places around the country?
Well, it's always a concern, and but I also think that there has to be the balance of the church needs to be a part of the solution, not the problem. And we are to be careful, and we are to think of others and put others first. And so, you know, I just think that it's wisdom for pastors and churches to wait on. I trust our president. I think that he and his panel of health officials have done a remarkable job. And God only knows where we would be if the economy hadn't been built up for the last 3 years.
Wow, isn't that the truth?
Nobody, there's nobody that cares more about this economy and the welfare of the people, I think, than the president and his amazing team and the vice president. So I'm going to trust them. I know that he cares about. As a matter of fact, I'm about to get on a phone call with the president and hundreds of other faith leaders, and he's going to address issues to faith leaders today. And I know he's got our churches and our congregations. He believes it's a vital part of our communities. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this, the smaller churches in our communities, Todd, one thing that we're happy about, we've been able to raise $250,000 the last 3 weeks to give to small churches in our community because they are vital. They matter. They have a profound ministry to people in our communities, and they're the ones that are hurting the most.
Well said. Jensen, we got to leave it there. Tell the president we said hello. And
I will.
And we appreciate you. Happy Easter.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate you.
Jensen Franklin, ladies and gentlemen, we have a link to his church and his ministry on our live show blog. Be sure to check that out. Great man right there. Just really great man. And he's got good hair, too. What can you say? All right, look, got to take a break. Jerry Falwell Jr., Papa John's. They're both going to be here. Papa John's, like the pizza guy. No, really. Papa John's. I wonder if we're going to get some, like, a slice or two. Oh, that'd be nice. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back.